Romans chapter 16, Paul is using this last chapter to, for his personal greetings and for his personal warnings, and yet at the same time it's presented in teaching form or doctrine form. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 24 is the doctrine of fellowship, the doctrine of Christian fellowship. The first 16 verses had to do with Paul's personal greetings as he described the people that he was greeting and their involvement within the body of Christ, describing for us what the early church was like in their interaction and their fellowship together. But we're in now the second section in this chapter, verses 17 through 20, the proper discipline in the church. And so far we have seen two things. Number one, the command that's given to us in verse 17, for he says, "Now I appeal to you, brethren, to observe or to look for them who are causing divisions and offenses contrary or against the teaching or doctrine which you yourselves learned." And then the command, "and avoid them." So he appeals to them. Be alert, be observant, be watching, listening, and mark those who are causing divisions and offenses within the body of Christ that are contrary to the teaching which they already learned. But the command is to avoid them. Sounds rather harsh, but it's necessary. I'm reminded of the children of Israel traveling in the wilderness, and God told them that when I bring you into the promised land, there will be your enemies there. These are people who do not follow God. They sin against God. They don't like God. And they're in the territory in which God has given to them. And so he tells them that when you come into the territory and you come across people, you are to kill them. Men, women, boys, girls, everybody. But there were times when they thought it was too harsh, and they let some of the Canaanites live, and they grew up amongst them, and some of their religious practices began to filter into the lifestyle and religion of the Jews. God wasn't trying to be cruel. He was saying that these people follow a false god, and their infiltration and mixture in with you will corrupt you. So they must be done away. But they thought it was too harsh. Paul says that if there are those amongst you, the command is to avoid those who are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. That's the command. The cause for this is because these people are causing. Notice the translation. Causing is a present participle. They are continually causing divisions. They are separatists, not in a good way. They like to separate themselves and try to get other people to come away from the body of Christ, either through complaints or some of their own feelings. But at any rate, they want to draw people to themselves. Those who are causing divisions and offenses, the Greek word for offenses is scandalon. The literal translation is slandering. They are causing divisions and they are slandering. But in the Greek, the word for scandalon means to put an object in the pathway to cause someone to stumble over. And so he is saying that these people, they come and they actually put something in someone's way to keep them from following the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And they're hindering people from following Christ. So they are constantly causing divisions and constantly putting objects in people's way to hinder them from following the truth in Christ. But it's not just a general statement. It's divisions and offenses contrary or against the teaching which you yourselves learned. We saw in Galatians chapter 1 that Paul made some pretty bold statements in verses 8 and 9 of Galatians 1, that if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which he has preached, let him be accursed. And so there are people who believe in and who teach, not just from the pulpit, but in fellowship with other believers, things that are contrary or against the teaching and the doctrine which Paul and the others taught. But notice it's contrary to the teachings which you yourselves learned. So he's telling them, you've already learned the truth correctly once. That's going to help you observe and look for these people. You have to know the truth. You have to know the teaching. You have to know the doctrine so that you can observe. If a person is unaware and unable to see the difference between truth and error, that person is vulnerable to the persuasions of false teaching. Thirdly, for today, verse 18, the characteristics of these people. We've studied the command, avoid them. The reason for the command is because they are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the teaching which they already learned. But verse 18 are the characteristics of these people. For they are such ones who are serving not our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not serving the Lord, but their own belly, their own stomach, which is a Greek phrase that represents fleshly appetite. Obviously, you're hungry. You have an appetite for things. So they mention the stomach as a general term to represent all of human life. They are out to satisfy a fleshly, personal, egotistical need, not in service to Christ. That's not what they're really about. And then he says, and through smooth words and flattering speeches, they are deceiving the hearts of the simple, which is the Greek word for innocent, also naive. A person is innocent in their approach to good and evil in the sense that they don't know the difference. Children are said to be in their innocence. They don't know the difference a lot of the times, though they sometimes invent it. So through smooth words, the word smooth is literally the word useful words. They choose the words for the people that they are speaking to, and through their flattering speeches, this is our word eulogy. They speak good things about people. So they're flattering them. They are deceiving the hearts of the simple, the innocent, the naive, the people who cannot tell the difference between good and evil, between someone who is phony and somebody who is not. They cannot tell the difference. What Paul is emphasizing for us is that we can be innocent. We can be naive. In fact, next week he's going to tell us, I wish you were naive towards the evil. rather than knowing evil and being naive towards the things of God. I wish you knew the things of God and you were naive towards evil. But it's not that way. When he says, avoid such, the naive or the innocent or the simple, they would say, that's too harsh. We need to love one another. They can't tell the difference between tough love and the love of discipline. With human love, they cannot tell the difference. And because of their naivety, they just love because they don't know what else to do. They don't know anything else. Yet the Bible tells us to remain simple or to remain naive is not what God has for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says that there are certain people that have been placed in positions of ministry in the body of Christ for the growth of the body of Christ. He says in Ephesians 4:14 that we should no more be children tossed to and fro and carried around with every wind of teaching by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, he's saying it is normal and it's natural to be naive at a certain place in your walk with the Lord. And these people are carried around by different teachings, like wind tossing around a boat that's not anchored out in the ocean. But he says we are to be seeking to grow. God wants us to not be naive. He wants us to not be in a position where we are vulnerable to being tossed around by every wind of teaching that seems good or that we like it or everybody else is believing it. It is important that we individually, in our relationship with the Lord, have the ability to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. The person who's deceiving us, obviously deception is something we cannot detect unless we have the awareness of it, especially the knowledge of the truth of the word. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sit under the ministry of God's grace, hearing the knowledge about the Lord, learning what the truth is, not only for our own relationship with the Lord, but as a defense against the things that we hear, the different religious philosophies, to know what the truth is for ourselves and for our defense of ourselves and for our own personal relationship with the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul describes that after a person receives Jesus Christ, he says, be not continually conformed to this world, but be continually being transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is the perfect, good, an acceptable will of God is. To prove, to put things to the test as to whether it's true or not. We had heard a sad story last Monday night in class when someone shared about their son who is saved, but has been exposed to so much teaching that she says he's come to a point that he doesn't want anything to do with the Bible because it's too confusing and everybody has their own opinions about what it says. So he's too discouraged, doesn't want to study the Bible anymore. I trust that will pass. The Lord will take care of that. But as I said to her in the class, What the Bible does say, you can know exactly what it says and what it means. The information is there for us if we want to study, if we want to dig in, if we want to seek out what's there in the Word. But we are to be continually being transformed in the renewing of our minds to prove what the will of God is for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, Paul says that we should not be living our lives like we did before we received and surrendered to Christ, but we are to walk in this new life. But he says in Ephesians 4:23 that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. This is where God takes the truth of his word and rewrites the cortex of our brains. We've got all of our experiences, both the abuses of the past and the experiences of the effects of sin in our life, and it's all written on the cortex of the brain. Once Jesus saves a person, his spirit comes into their spirit, but the cortex of my brain, all my experiences of my past are still there. It's written. So what the Lord wants to do is from the, now that he dwells within, from the inside, he wants to renew my mind. He wants to heal me from the remembrance and the effects of that abuse and from that sin. We are naive towards the things of God, but we're very experienced when it comes to sin. We have a lot of knowledge about sin. And the more we and the deeper we have delved in it in the past, the more it stays with us and haunts us when Satan presses the buttons to remind us of that past. But the Lord says, I have saved you. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But now I'm working from the inside through my designed way of you studying my word. My spirit from within you will renew your mind. It is a process that happens over a period of one's life. Church is a spiritual hospital. It's for those who know they need to be healed and for those who know they need to be transformed. People aren't interested in church if they don't have the need. Other things to do, no big deal. Jesus said he didn't come to save the righteous. He came to call the sick, sinners to repentance. So for those of us who have been blessed that the Lord has revealed to us our need for Christ and our sins, and through that we have forgiveness for our sins and we receive Christ, we're born of his spirit. That's the beginning of salvation, not the end. I mean, it's completed. But now salvation is being worked out. Now the Lord from within is transforming my mind. And the very concepts of the truth about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ are now taking the place of the old life. I spent 23 years accumulating information and experiences from living in the world as an unbeliever. So how long do you think it's going to take? I mean, I would have to receive the Lord at 23 and live to be 46 just to break even. If I stayed in the Word all that time. So you can see the lifetime process. Some people have been saved for 5 or 10 or even 15 years and they think they should be further along than they were. I don't know what further along is, but the Lord is in the process of transforming the mind. So if I've only known him for 10 years, but I've been alive for 20, you still have more work to do. More change and more transformation to make. The simple people are wonderful people. They hardly ever offend anybody. And all they want to do is love, and they think that discipline is harsh. But the Lord does not want us to remain simple. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants our minds transformed. He wants us to know what the truth is, both for us personally, because Jesus said the truth will set you free. And secondly, in my defense, I can listen to others and compare it, like Paul says, these people and their persuasive speech, but they speak against the teachings of God's word. How am I going to know they're not teaching the truth if I don't know the truth? So I need to be set free to follow Christ and have a relationship with him. I need to be set free to be able to discern the information that I'm being told and being presented that's either the truth in Christ or it's not. Because if I don't know the difference, then I'm going to be influenced by human logic and human reason and charismatic personalities and persuasions that do not come from the Lord. So it's important. So we need to take the study of God's word seriously. Not because it is our duty, but it is a necessity. Not to fight for a certain translation, but to receive the truth of which God's word presents to us in concept. Let that spiritual truth free us and protect us. It's of a necessity. Satan is looking for ignorant people. Paul said 6 times in his letters, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. No ignorant brethren whatsoever. We are to know what God's word says. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word that encourages us, that warns us, that shows us the necessity that we individually, in our personal walk with Christ, we need to know the truth. And in defense, to protect ourselves and our families and our loved ones, we need to know the truth. And we pray that you would impress upon us this important responsibility and this important direct that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.